And welcome to the Deep Dive Radio Show. As always, I'm your host, Nick Espinoza, and we're going to be talking about all things cybersecurity, cyber warfare, and technology related. And I think we're one of the only ones out there that's doing that right now. If you'd like to be part of the radio show in any way, shape, or form, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can send us an email to questions@securityfanatics.com. We have an action-packed show as always. There's always a lot to cover, so stick around with us as we deep dive into a topic and we catch up on everything else. So without further ado, let's begin.
And we've got a great hour for you today. We're obviously going to be catching up on some of the news, breaches of the week, so absolutely off the rails the past week or so. But we're also going to be talking about misinformation and disinformation in the deep dive. As you know, we've got an election coming up here in less than a week, about a week or so, as actually I'm sitting here live on Halloween, so a week and a day, but I'm not sure when you're going to hear this, as it basically gets pushed out through syndication to various radio shows and all of that, or radio stations and all of that. So we're going to talk about misinformation, disinformation online. It is so important. So stick around. You're not going to want to miss that. And as always, let's start with the news. And in international news, we have to talk about Iran because Iran's nuclear secrets have just been leaked. This is crazy. It's coming from CyberScoop, and I think this is an important one, so heads up. The hack and leak of emails and other materials basically this past weekend or 2 weekends ago or so as you're listening to this related to Iran's nuclear program was the result of, quote, unauthorized access from a specific foreign country. That is according to the Iranian government. Now, this statement came a day after a group calling itself Black Reward claimed to have hacked and stolen information relating to, quote, Iran's public and private conversations with the International Atomic Energy Agency, along with other materials, including construction plans, management and operational schedules, and the passports and visas of Iranian and Russian specialists involved in the country's nuclear program. That is basically according to the statement, that we have out here. This is a huge thing. Now, the group posted the materials to its Telegram channel and announced the hack on Twitter, urging people to review the files, but with caution given the prevalence of malware in Iranian government systems. Basically meaning, if you're going to download this, you do it at your own risk. You could be infected with Iranian malware. Now, in response to a question sent via Telegram, the group talking to CyberScoop said, and I quote, "We are Iranian, and whatever the Islamic Republic says is a lie. We fight against the regime in support of women, life, and freedom," end quote. The message also included the hashtag Masha Amini, which is a reference to the 22-year-old woman that died in police custody on September 16th after being arrested for allegedly violating rules related to how women are supposed to dress in public. Basically, she didn't put her headscarf on. They resisted. Apparently, they beat her. Then she basically ended up in the hospital for 3 days and died. And the Iranian government said, oh, well, she died of a heart attack, as opposed to the beating that the morality police were there. Now, the original message posted by Black Reward said that they were, quote, part of the Iranian hacker community and born from among you. This is also according to Google Translation, because, again, this is all in Iranian. So the group told CyberScoop that it had no connection to any other hacking groups that have claimed to have hacked other Iranian entities. Quote, "What is important for us is the lives of our compatriots and their freedom. Our brothers and sisters who are in prisons, we no longer tolerate the Islamic Republic and fight them in any possible way," end quote. Now, the hack is just the latest target in the Iranian government, against the Iranian government in the wake of Amini's death. Multiple groups have claimed hacks, denial of service attacks under the banner of Anonymous, basically starting in September as a result of that. And we have seen essentially the Iranian population melt down in some way as we are seeing protests against the Iranian government. It's amazing to see, like, schoolgirls, for example, taking off their headscarves and saying, you know, death to the government or death to the leader, you know, these kinds of things, just in full view of men and the morality police and everything else. And so I think the world is just watching and waiting to see exactly what's going to happen here. But it looks like they are moving full steam ahead. I think everybody seems to be on board. We may be actually seeing the underpinnings of the next Iranian revolution here, as essentially these protests and these, anti-government forces are continuing to move on, even though we're about a month and a half now past that initial incident. So it seems to be gaining steam. It seems to be getting support online around the world and also from Iranian hackers. So that is your Iranian news of the day. we've been sifting through nuclear material from Iran, and it's pretty interesting, and so we'll see where it goes. And in Tesla news, Tesla is actually facing a criminal probe regarding its self-driving claims about its car. Now, this is coming from CNBC, and here's what's going on. Tesla is under criminal investigation in the United States over claims that the company's electric vehicles can drive themselves. This is according to three people familiar with this matter. Now, the U.S. Department of Justice launched the previously undisclosed probe last year following more than a dozen crashes, some of them fatal, involving Tesla's driver assistance program known as Autopilot, which was activated during all of these accidents. Now, as early as 2016, Tesla's marketing materials have touted Autopilot's capabilities. On a conference call that year, Elon Musk said that Tesla's basically, he described it as probably better than a human driver, Elon Musk obviously being Tesla's CEO at the time. Now, last week, Musk said on another call that Tesla would soon release an upgraded version of, quote, full self-driving, end quote, software, allowing customers to travel, quote, to your work, your friend's home, to the grocery store without you touching the wheel, end quote. Now, a video that is currently on Tesla's website says the person in the driver's seat is only there for legal reasons. He is not doing anything. The car is driving itself. However, the company has also explicitly warned drivers that they must keep their hands on the wheel and maintain control of their vehicles while using autopilot. The Tesla technology is designed to assist with things like steering, braking, speed, and lane changes, but its features, quote, do not make the vehicle autonomous, end quote, according also to their website as well. Now, such warnings could complicate any case that the Justice Department may bring, according to the sources familiar with this. Federal and California safety regulators are already scrutinizing whether claims about autopilot's capabilities and the system's design imbue customers with a false sense of security, inducing them to treat Teslas as truly driverless cars and become complacent behind the wheel with potentially deadly consequences. The Justice Department investigation potentially represents a more serious level of scrutiny because the possibility of criminal charges against the company or individual executives may be part of this. Now, as part of this probe as well, the Justice Department prosecutors in Washington and San Francisco are examining whether Tesla misled consumers, investors, and regulators by making unsupported claims about its driver assistant technology capability. And there you go. Now, officials conducting the inquiry could ultimately pursue criminal charges, seek civil sanctions, or close a probe without taking any action, depending on what they find. And so this is obviously going to be something that is very interesting, very concerning. But I do think that just anecdotally, and again, I'm not a lawyer, I don't play one on the radio either, that it seems like Tesla has some culpability here. I've seen a ton of different YouTube videos of people being like, well, I'm just going to go hop in the back seat and let the Tesla drive me down the highway or wherever they're going. And so that obviously is a huge, huge thing. They also have a parking lot feature, from what I understand, where the Tesla, like if you hit the button, the Tesla will actually start itself, pull out of the spot, and come find you in the parking lot. So they're moving down this road, but if this is causing crashes or a false sense of security because it's not at 100%, there you go. So we'll see what happens here, but I think this is going to be an interesting one, and obviously I'll keep you informed. But that is your Tesla news of the week. And before we head over to the next segment, I wanted to let you know, and I've done this in a couple of shows, and I keep being reminded to do this, and I always forget. Basically, if you didn't know, I put out content on a daily basis, not just here on the radio where you're listening to me, but actually I put it quite a lot of places, daily podcasts and videos on some of the latest trends, technology, cybersecurity, privacy, all these kinds of things I keep day to day. And some of the segments that I do for my news section or even my breaches of the week every Sunday gets translated into this show. But I do this as essentially a labor of love. You know, I don't have any kind of monetization anywhere. I just do it to keep people informed and to keep everybody interested. But you can find me basically on Twitter or Facebook at @NickAESP or on LinkedIn and YouTube at @NickEspinoza. And please follow me. I'd love to basically get a shout out from you and you know, send me a message or whatever it is. But I do content daily and I hope you guys enjoy it. And so that is my quick blurb.
You're listening to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP, on 101.5 FM. And now for breaches of the week. And if you have a data breach to report that's local to you or the major news might have missed it, please, by all means, send it to me, and I'm glad to give you a shout-out and include it in the radio show and possibly a daily video. And you can find me on Twitter and Facebook at Nick AESP. Again, that's Nick AESP. Or you can email questions at securityfanatics.com. Again, that's questions at securityfanatics.com. And I am more than happy to include your data breach and give you a shout-out on the air. With that, let's begin.
As always, and as always, I want to thank the people that sent me a lot of this information. It always helps me out. And that would be Barrett Peterson, Chris Fallon, Mark McGovern, Jay Dance, and Sander Sleidnerink, as well as Jacqueline Wolf. Thank you so very much. And if you have a tip for me, please send it my way, and I'll give you a shout-out here and also on my nationally syndicated radio show as well. And with that, no time to lose. We're going to dive right into a big one. Let's talk about U.S. Bank, one of the largest banks in the United States. They are notifying some of their customers about personal information that was accidentally shared by one of the bank's third-party vendors, according to basically draft letters that were posted to the California Attorney General's website. Now, about 11,000 customers were affected after a vendor, a collections recovery group, accidentally shared this information, and that is according to a U.S. bank spokesperson talking to NBC News. Now, this incident occurred on September 27 and involved the sharing of information including names, social security numbers, closed account numbers, and outstanding balances. Customers with closed U.S. Bank credit card accounts were affected according to this. So if you have a closed credit card from U.S. Bank, heads up to you. Moving on. Let's talk about the Israeli Shas political party. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. They had a serious data breach, or security breach, I should say, in their computerized election management system as they left it vulnerable to basically easy exploitation, even by those with only basic knowledge of cybersecurity. This is according to the experts that reviewed this. Now, the breach of this system, which contains not just the data of Shah's supporters and activists, but actually information on all Israeli citizens who are eligible to vote. This was basically revealed this past Sunday following an anonymous leak received on the Cyber podcast hosted by Ido Kanan and Noam Rodham. Now, these findings were then verified by a software architect known as Ron Barzik. So there you go. If you have anything to do, or I guess you're an eligible Israeli voter, you might want to check in with the Shah's political party. Now, on top of this, we have to talk about Michigan Medicine, because an attacker used a phishing scam to compromise employee email accounts, and that is according to basically officials at Michigan Medicine, which led to the exposure of 33,850 patients. Now, the scam was conducted between August 15th and through the 23rd of this year. Employees were lured to a web page that was designed to get them to submit their login credentials for Michigan Medicine, and here we are. That was 4 employee email accounts were also accessed during this period. Now, they discovered the email accounts were compromised on August 23rd. Basically, what we are talking about here are names, medical record numbers, addresses, dates of birth, diagnostic treatment information, and health insurance information. And there we are. So heads up, Michigan Medicine patients. Moving on, let's talk about Bed Bath & Beyond. They are a large retail outlet that does, or rather sells things for your bed, your bath, and apparently beyond here in the United States. I don't know if they're anywhere else. Now, they said this past Friday that a third party had this month improperly accessed its data through a phishing scam by accessing the hard drive of certain shared drives of one of their employees. Now, Bed Bath & Beyond also said that they're reviewing the data that basically the data that was accessed, and they're trying to determine if the drives contain any sensitive information or personally identifiable information as well. Bed Bath & Beyond also added that they have no reason to believe any sensitive or personally identifiable information was accessed. But here we are. So this is obviously evolving. Heads up, Bed Bath & Beyond shoppers and employees, you may eventually be entitled to compensation. Moving on, let's talk about Ascension St. Vincent's Coastal Cardiology, because on August 15th, basically them out of Brunswick, Georgia, were alerted to a healthcare data breach involving, quote, recently acquired Ascension St. Vincent's Coastal Cardiology's legacy systems, including the electronic medical record. Now, this breach impacted 71,227 individuals. The organization said that it immediately tried to secure all of this, but some of their information has been encrypted. Since it is still encrypted, apparently, they are basically unable to determine what the impact was, but we are assuming name, address, email address, phone number, insurance information, as well as social security numbers if provided, clinical information, and billing insurance information were on those systems. So heads up to you.
Ascension St. Vincent's Coastal Cardiology patients out of Brunswick, Georgia. Moving on, let's talk about the Fulton City Police. This is actually an update because they had a data breach discovered last November as the Fulton City Police compromised the personal data of 28,282 people, and that's according to a government data breach notice. Now, information of this breach, basically as a result of what the city of Fulton calls a data event, could include your name, social security numbers, identification numbers, personal financial account information, and more. Fulton Mayor Deanna Michaels also basically her office sent out this notice of breach to Maine's Attorney General. And there you go. I believe this is in Georgia, but apparently they are saying 9 people from Maine were also affected as well. I have no idea why it took them this long to disclose that officially to the government. Moving on. Let's talk about Wake Med Health and Hospitals, because on August 14th of this year, Wake Med filed an official notice of data breach with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And basically, the details right now are kind of sparse, but based on the current federal breach reporting, it's likely that we are talking about names, protected health information, and potentially social security numbers of affected parties. They recently sent out data breach letters to those affected parties. So heads up, Wake Med Health and Hospitals, patients and employees. Moving on, let's talk about Australian Clinical Labs, because they just disclosed a February of this year data breach that impacted its med lab pathology business, exposing the medical records and sensitive information of 223,000 people, I assume mostly, if not all, Australian. Now, while the firm says it's not aware of any misuse of the stolen information, it is notifying impacted clients individually of what was exposed during this attack. This data breach notification that was published the other day gives the following information: 128,608 Medicare customers, along with full names, 28,286 credit card numbers, 12% of which include the 3-digit code, and 55% of those cards are actually expired. 17,539 individual medical and health records associated with pathology tests. So if you have anything to do with Australian Clinical Labs, I'm guessing like they're Australia's Lab Corp, heads up to you. Moving on, let's talk about Genshin Impact. This is a game developed by a company called HoYoverse. Over the weekend, huge batches of information were shared online that revealed details of new characters, quests and events from version 3.3 until 3.8. I'm assuming 3.3 through 3.8 are not out yet. Basically, the future plans of the games, the characters, everything just got dumped. Now, HoYoverse has a DMCA, that's the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, striked posts containing information from the data breach, although right now we don't know much more about this. I don't know how this got out. I don't know if it's an employee that said, screw this place, and walking out the door did this. If they got breached, we have no idea, but they had a breach because obviously a whole bunch of information that was proprietary and private to them are now known by their players. So if you play Genshin Impact, you might be able to get a sneak peek. Unfortunately, moving on is an update on the Rhode Island Public Transit Authority, or RIPTA. And here's what's going on, because the attorney generals with the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, of Rhode Island filed a class action lawsuit against RIPTA and United Healthcare England over the handling of their August 2021 healthcare data breach that impacted thousands of individuals. So if you are in Rhode Island and you used RIPTA or United Healthcare, you may soon be entitled to compensation. Thank you, ACLU, for that one. New Mexico is the next place we're going, because their Radiology Associates of Albuquerque is next on the list. Now, they're known as RAA Imaging, and they basically informed an undisclosed number of patients of a healthcare data breach involving their PHI, or protected health information. An unauthorized party apparently accessed email accounts at RAA at differing times between December 22nd of 2020 through July 15th of 2021, so about 7-8 months so worth of illegal entry. Now, the potentially impacted information is names, contact info, social security number, medical conditions, medical history, treatment information, patient account numbers, health insurance, and other possible PHI. So heads up to you, RAA Imaging or Radiology Associates of Albuquerque patients. You also may be entitled to compensation. Moving on, let's talk about Ocean County out of the state of New Jersey. Now, officials there say And there was no nefarious intent when an Ocean County employee emailed a spreadsheet containing the personal information of about 3,900 deceased Medicaid recipients to another worker. Apparently, the spreadsheet, according to them, was not downloaded by the recipient, nor was it shared with anybody else. That is according to the basically Department of Human Services of New Jersey this past Thursday. The employee to whom the email was sent was not authorized to receive this information, and therefore this is considered a HIPAA breach. Even if you're dead, you still have protected health information because odds are you've got family. Moving on, let's talk about Twilio. This is unfortunately an update because they are pretty large in cybersecurity and software, but here we are. They, this past week, disclosed that they experienced another quote-unquote brief security incident, this time in June of this year, perpetrated by the same threat actor behind the August attack of Twilio that we talked about, like literally back. I had to go back and look at my notes, and that basically August hack resulted in unauthorized access of customer information. Now, the security event occurred on June 29th. The company said that in an update advisory that they shared this week as part of their probe to this break-in, and I quote, in the June incident, a Twilio employee was socially engineered through voice phishing or vishing to provide their credentials, and the malicious actor was able to access customer contact information for a limited number of customers. This is according to Twilio. Now, Twilio, as I mentioned, is a major provider of software, but they also are the provider of the Authy Authenticator app, which is used by 75 million users for multi-factor authentication. Authy was not affected in this breach, apparently. The one in August had something like, I think, like 90 users out of 75 million possibly affected. So Authy is still considered secure, and it's a bummer, but here we are. So Twilio, heads up, your users, you know, we're not happy with you right now. Let's just put it that way. So with that, let's keep moving on to SEE Tickets. That's SEE Tickets. They're a ticketing service provider, and they disclosed a data breach informing their customers that cyber criminals might have accessed their payment card details via a skimmer on the website. In other words, somebody inserted malicious code. So when you're paying with your credit card on ctickets.com, and you're basically giving them your information, a copy of that is going to some jerk who's ripping you off. Now, the internal investigation, and this is crazy, showed that the investigation or the infection happened on June 25th. Of 2019. This exposure and skimming has been going on for over 2.5 years. This is absolutely nuts. The customer information that the attackers might have stolen include full name, address, zip code, payment card number, expiration date, and the 3-digit code you give them. SEE Tickets says that social security numbers, state ID numbers, or bank account information basically has not been exposed due to this incident because they are not stored on their systems. But if you have bought anything from SEE Tickets, that's SEE Tickets, in the last 2.5 years, your credit card is out there, and if you've got the same number, you're going to want to go change that. That's obviously a huge thing. And for the love of God, everybody needs a web application firewall in front of their websites to prevent this kind of stuff and detect these kinds of threats. So go get yourself a WAF if you've got a website. Moving on, let's talk about a car dealer group out of the UK known as Pendragon. They are currently the subject of a cyber attack, and get this, they are being held ransom for $60 million US or 54 million pounds. Now, basically, this is huge. Now, the listed firm, they own 160 showrooms across the UK, and obviously, they also use the names Evan Halshaw and Stratstone, for their car dealerships, and they basically say that their servers were hit, and dark web hackers having stolen 5% of their data. Lockbit 3.0 is now claiming responsibility for this. $60 million. You could probably have better insurance. You could have definitely cyber insurance, but that is a huge hit for cyber insurance, and I doubt they've got coverage that high, even if they do cover it, but you can buy cyber defense strategies that will mitigate these things for way less. Keep up with your cyber defense. That's what I'm trying to say here. Next up, we got to talk about media giant Thomson Reuters, because everybody's getting hacked these days. Apparently, they left 3 of their databases open and accessible for anybody to look at. One of these open instances was a 3 terabyte public-facing Elasticsearch database that contained a ton of sensitive, up-to-date information from across the company's various platforms. The company recognized this issue and fixed it immediately, according to them. Now, the naming of the Elasticsearch indices basically inside their servers suggests that the open instance was used as a logging server to collect vast amounts of data gathered through user-client interaction. In other words, the company collected and exposed thousands of gigabytes of data that researchers believe could be worth millions of dollars dollars on underground criminal forums because of potential access they could give to other systems inside the Thomson Reuters infrastructure. They claim that basically out of these three misconfigured servers, the team informed the company about, two were designed to be publicly accessible. The third was a non-production server meant for, quote, application logs from the pre-production implementation environment. Obviously, this is a huge hit. Thomson Reuters is massive. We're going to see where that goes. And we are tracking another possible massive breach. And this is from AT&T. Multiple people alerted me to this. We also happen to track this gang here. But the Everest ransomware gang is claiming that they have hit AT&T. This is developing in the dark web right now. And so we will see what AT&T says. But I'm giving you a heads up. If you're hearing this for the first time, because this literally just started breaking in the last day or two, this will be huge, I think, because AT&T is huge, tens of millions of customers, all of which may be entitled to compensation. And finally, and we have two finalies for you today. The first one is Liz Truss. She is the shortest living British prime minister in UK history. She lasted about three Scaramucci's, 44, 45 days. Now, here's what's going on with Liz Truss. The government, the UK government, has been urged to open an investigation into claims that former prime minister Liz Truss' phone was hacked while she was the foreign secretary. So this is before her short stint as prime minister. Now, the Mail on Sunday reported private messages between Ms. Truss and foreign officials, including about the Ukraine war, fell into foreign hands. Now, this hack was discovered during the summer Tory leadership campaign, but the news was suppressed. The government also said and had a robust cyber threat protection in place. The spokesperson also added that the government, quote, did not comment on individual security arrangements. Talking to Sky News, Michael Gove of Leveling Up basically said that he did not know the full details, quote, of what security breach, if any, took place, end quote. But he said that the government took these issues incredibly seriously. So, details about this hack were suppressed by then Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Cabinet Secretary Simon Case. The Mail on this past Sunday, literally like today, cited that basically there was a news blackout that was imposed by Mr. Case as a result of this. And obviously hacking a prime minister, or in this case, a foreign secretary, soon to be back then prime minister for a very short period of time, is a huge, huge thing.
And stay tuned to Nick Espinoza here on the Deep Dive Radio Show as we take a quick break for a public service announcement. We'll be back right after that.